Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. I'm going to assume that most of you probably played a board game at some point or another during your early childhood. We, for example, were big fans of Parcheesi in my family. But how often do we credit good old-fashioned family fun for providing us with a foundation for basic mathematical concepts that lead to our cognitive development later in life? But think about it. When you were a kid and you had to work out how many spaces you were supposed to move after rolling the dice, it gave you some very fundamental knowledge and understanding of things like counting, cardinality, comparing, and number symbols. In fact, research shows that participation in everyday activities like this during the preschool years is linked to later success not just in mathematics, but also in areas related to language and literacy. Historically, mathematics has been viewed by many early childhood educators as unimportant or developmentally inappropriate for young children. This stems, at least in part, from generally negative attitudes about mathematics on the part of the American public. It also has something to do with the fact that we think that our earliest memories of childhood education should conjure up images of an especially nurturing environment. With social-emotional development as the primary goal, teachers tend to focus mainly on language and literacy. They often overlook the fact that mathematics, while good for cognitive development, can also contribute to this important area of development as well. In recent years, however, interest in mathematics as a key aspect of early childhood education has increased across both the policy and the practice communities. It was in part this surge in interest that led the National Research Council to weigh in on the state of early childhood mathematics education. The NRC's new report, Mathematics Learning in Early Childhood: Paths Toward Excellence and Equity, calls for a new national initiative to improve early childhood mathematics education and to create better learning opportunities for preschoolers, particularly those from low-income groups. So how much math is the right amount of math for kids? And when should children be formally introduced to mathematic concepts? To help answer those questions, we turn to one of the authors of the report, Dr. Susan Bredekamp, an expert on early childhood curriculum and instruction.
Well, first of all, we have new research on young children that really informs us that they're more competent than we thought in the past, and that they really are more capable of sophisticated mathematics learning, and that they actually enjoy it. So we find now that what we used to think was developmentally inappropriate for many young children, they're actually capable of.
This discovery actually cuts against a commonly held assumption that many children's poor performance in math is attributable to an innate deficit in a child's ability to learn mathematics. But we now know that the problem lies not with a deficit in ability, but rather in a deficit of opportunities for children to learn mathematics. For one thing, there's a huge amount of variation in the kinds of experiences children have in their homes and communities. On average, children in low-income communities tend to have much different learning experiences outside of school than children from more affluent backgrounds.
One of the things that's really important for children is to have the exposure to the language of mathematics. We know, for example, that children across the socioeconomic spectrum actually have equal amounts of mathematics in their play. For example, children from low-income families will play with their blocks in the same way that children from more affluent families will. The difference in the two groups is in not the actual play, but in the language of mathematics that the adults bring into the experience. So the more privileged children are able to connect their experience, their everyday experiences, to the mathematics concepts because they have the language that bridges the experience and the concept. And other children do not have that opportunity.
Families are agents of cultural transmission, which includes conveying attitudes about mathematics. Often, mathematics is not viewed as important to young children's cognitive development and later academic success. Evidence shows, though, that learning mathematics is vital for children's early years and for later success in mathematics, as well as better overall academic outcomes in such areas as literacy, science, and technology. Even inside the classroom, mathematics is often only a secondary goal for learning experiences at the pre-kindergarten level. Many mathematics activities are simply embedded in other lessons, where math learning is not the primary focus. And because of the inadequate opportunities available at school, it only exacerbates the achievement gap for low-income children already missing valuable math learning experiences at home. For that reason, improving the quality of early childhood mathematics education in the classroom, particularly in Head Start and other publicly funded programs, would go a long way to solving this problem. In order to accomplish that goal, the National Research Council developed teaching learning paths that provided educators with a sequence of learning experiences in which one idea lays the foundation for the next. Again, Dr. Bredekamp.
The way mathematics works, of course, is that later learning doesn't just build on earlier understanding, but it depends on it. Mathematics is, of course, a much more sequential subject area or discipline than other areas of the curriculum, such as social studies or science. And it's really important in mathematics for teachers and curriculum developers to understand that the earlier learnings build on the later learnings. If we can identify those teaching learning paths, we can help teachers to see where children are in the path and help to scaffold their learning in that sequence, and also for us to build curriculum around those sequences.
In addition to the teaching learning paths, a major emphasis is needed on professional development for early childhood educators to get them up to speed on new research-based approaches to teaching. One factor to consider, though, is that the early childhood education workforce is extremely diverse. Whereas some early child care providers may only have a high school education, other teachers may have a bachelor's or even a master's degree. Not only does the basic education level vary greatly among the workforce, but only a limited number of teachers have actually taken specialized courses focused on early childhood education, particularly with an emphasis on early childhood mathematics teaching. Indeed, another part of the problem is that early childhood teachers are often uncomfortable teaching mathematics. Many teachers avoid teaching math because of their own negative early experiences with the subject.
One of the things that the committee looked at was what possible ways we could influence both teacher preparation and professional development for early childhood educators. And because teacher education programs are so influenced by state certification standards and by accreditation of colleges of teacher ed, we felt that those were possible points of leverage to try to influence the content of these programs. They do not currently have a focus on mathematics. Some have no particular attention to mathematics at all. The committee also considered the fact that a large proportion of young children are not in any formal early childhood setting prior to kindergarten. They are in relative care or in family childcare systems or not in any situation outside the home. They're with their families. And we feel that it's important to have resources and knowledge dissemination to this larger sector of the public to help them see that providing children with opportunities to learn about mathematics in playful ways is really important.
What is especially clear is that the amount of time devoted to and focused on mathematics needs to be increased in all public and private preschool settings. If we provide low-income children with high-quality mathematics instruction early on, it can establish the groundwork for future learning and help address long-term systematic inequities in educational outcomes. Given the increasing importance of science and technology in everyday life and for gaining entry into many careers, it's crucial that we give all children a strong foundation in mathematics and that we start many years before they enter formal schooling. Because whether you grow up to use computer graphics on your job or make budget spreadsheets at home, people will need to move fluently back and forth between graphs, tables of data, and formulas. And to make good choices in the marketplace, they must know how to spot flaws in deductive and probabilistic reasoning, as well as how to estimate the results of computations. Public policy issues of critical importance hinge on our ability to invoke mathematical skills and knowledge, even if it all starts with Parcheesi. To learn more about this report from the National Research Council, you may read the full text of Mathematics Learning in Early Childhood free online at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.